Hello and welcome to episode 64 of the First and Gold podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Langa. And Sim, we have finally made it. We have a actual basketball game that we can talk about. And while it is just an exhibition game, it's probably one of the most anticipated exhibition games I've seen in a really long time. And I don't care that it doesn't count. We get to talk about, we get to watch Purdue basketball again, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, man. We did it, It's kind of like last year, man. I mean, like, we finally have some Purdue basketball this week, and before you know it, we know we're gonna be in full swing of the regular season. So, this exhibition game is probably the most, I'd say probably the most anticipated one I can remember. And it's gonna be nice to have some basketball and just, that other piece of Purdue sports to talk about. So yeah, definitely excited.
And I'm just really looking forward to hear Coach Painter yell
Woo!
move.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that in a while, so.
I'll tell you what, no, it's like when they talk about the holidays, and they were like Mariah Carey when All I Want for
It
Christmas, that first painter move is when you know is that time. So I'm ready.
Sim, before we talk a little hoops, let's talk about the gridiron first. As the football team returns home after a two-game road trip. It'll be homecoming as they get ready to take on Rutgers this weekend. And we talked a lot about the game last week and kind of all of the disappointment that came with it. So don't really want to harp on that. Want to just, at this point, Sim, I'm just kind of at the point where, like, I don't care how the hell you do it, just win a game.
Right.
And this seems like the most winnable game left on the schedule. I don't want to call it like a must-win game, but it just feels like one where it just like the team needs it, the coaching staff needs it, the fans need it. You just gotta find a way to win this game.
Yeah, man, that's that. I agree. I think that's the point of the season we're at. When you look at the schedule, when you look at the schedule, that this game, this Rutgers game, could be arguably the last one that you genuinely have a legitimate shot of winning. And I'm with you, man. Much like we would say in basketball, style points don't matter at this point, man. Just have more points at the end of the game, win. I'm out. Again, I'll be eager to see how this team comes out. Like you said, it's homecoming and back home. I know the fan turnout's going to be good. I'll be there for sure. But I'm eager to see how the players come out, because you have these last two games, like you said, I'm not trying to harp on it, but obviously with the Minnesota game, which you really feel like you let slip through your hands. You had that game, and gave it away at the end. And then the Northwestern game, where it just kind of seemed like it was just like nobody showed up. It was just a letdown all across the board. So after having two games like that, two winnable games that you weren't able to take advantage of, you're hoping that kind of third time's a charm, and that we're just kind of able to get it done. But I'm not going to sit here and critique how it gets done. We'll have a recap episode for that. But at the end of the day, if Purdue has more points, to me, it's going to be a win. To me, then that recap episode, it'll be up. You'll hear the bottles, you'll hear the cans opening. As we're going over it, that's the type of celebration it's going to be. At least on this side of the on this side of the microphone. But yeah, just however you can get it done, Purdue, do it.
Might have to have the bubbly ready,
Right.
it's just kind of it's crazy to think of this as kind of where we're at, because we talked about in previous episodes looking at this month of October, you were like, all right, if they can go 2-2, like, okay. And now we're at the last weekend in October, and they're 0-3 this month, and you're just like, just freaking win, man.
Yeah.
Just kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah.
Let's
Like
talk about the offense a little bit. I know it hasn't been officially named, but all arrows are pointing to Malachi being the starter at quarterback. And we saw it a little bit last week, and we've seen it sprinkled in throughout this year with the different packages that they run for him, but he really brings a different element to the game. And Sim, I'm, really intrigued just to kind of see how, after you've had a full week of practice, you can kind of plan and script those first drives out for him. I'm really curious to see kind of the play calling and how the offense responds to him being at quarterback.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. I'm going to be very eager to see how the play calling is going. You know, is this going to be a thing where where Henson is going to they're going to be sitting down and kind of working with Malachi in terms of, hey, what do you feel comfortable with? Especially, I think in the passing game, are you going to try to give him some early throws that some early easier throws to try to get him, to get his confidence going, to kind of get him into a rhythm to where he can then be a threat, not just, I mean. Not just in terms of like for what the defense has to look at, but in terms of like making those throws downfield, you're able to build that confidence. But to see that, and yeah, like you said, how does the team respond? I know he's, I mean, he's probably gonna be fired up himself. It's gonna be his first start, in a Purdue uniform. And so kind of how do the guys around him, how do they rally for him? How do they rally around him? And again, I think in its own way, it does lend itself. I mean, again, I'm gonna dip back in the bag of Ben Roberts quotes, but it does kind of feel like the skill position guys, like with the wide receivers, like they're kind of due in terms of like they, the last couple of weeks they didn't have necessarily they haven't necessarily had the best performances, and now you got Malachi coming in, and you want to help him get off to a good start. Well, you got to make plays for him. You have to make plays for him. I think the same thing can go, for the O-line. I'm sure they're just trying to have a more of a performance like they had against Minnesota. And again, like if they block, Malachi will be able to run. He'll be able to run pretty successfully. So, yeah, there's a lot of kind of I would say positive like wait and see that we're that you have with the offense and with being around Malachi. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, if look, if he's got to run the ball to win, or if it's a mix of run and pass, or if he does want to go out there and be like a Joe Montana or something like that, and then be slinging that ball all over the field, I don't care, man. I just want to win, man. I cannot stress that enough. Yeah, I want to win, and I want to see him. I want to see him play well. I genuinely do. I genuinely want to see him play well, because I know that he's been putting in the work behind the scenes. And I remember Odom at the beginning of the year talking about how he feels confident in the entire QB room because he feels like, albeit Ryan Braun was named the starter, that he felt like all of the quarterbacks in that room can play are capable of playing winning football. So it'd be nice to see Malachi come out and play a good quality good quality football, and then yeah, to be able to hopefully lead us to a victory.
And it's a great opportunity, one, because if you can't kind of tell by our tone, it's a very winnable game against this Rutgers team that's 3-4, 0-4 in the Big Ten. And they also come in with the worst defense in the Big Ten. So if there's ever a time to ease in a backup quarterback, it would be against a team like Rutgers. Now watch, the score will be like 3-0. But it does seem like a good opportunity here. And then, I'm gonna keep, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse here, but it just seems like another opportunity to get Mock the ball. And whether it's, the read option, whether it's getting him out on swing passes and getting him in space. I just want to see more of your best offensive player with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know why I didn't mention that. That's a good call out on your part. You have your backup quarterback in, and if you wanted to alleviate some of the pressure off of him, the best thing you can do, you're fortunate enough to have one of the best backs in the Big Ten. You want to get the ball into Mock's hands, whether that's with short throws or obviously handing the ball off. And if you're able to get him established, that takes a lot of pressure off of the off your quarterback. So, hopefully, yeah, this is a game where we're not sitting here talking about on the back end about how he is tied for third, or tied for, yeah, I think it's tied for third or second in carries. You want to get the ball to Mock. I think you want to get the ball in Mock's hands early. Allow him to get established, and then from there, I think that's another thing I think that can make the game easier for Malachi.
And on the other side Pride of the Balsam. You know, we talked about the defense in the recap. Like it's really hard to really kind of be disappointed in them going out on the road and only giving up 19 points. But this feels again like another opportunity for them to go out there and play well. It seemed like they were really starting to gain some momentum in that fourth quarter, generating a couple of turnovers there late. And you just kind of wonder if that will carry over here. And, you know, it always seems like when they're, you know, turnovers there that they tend to kind of snowball. And so you really just kind of hope that this team can go out there, that this defense can go out there and build off of the end of that game and, you know, maybe make some big plays there to help out the offense.
Yeah, man. Again, just keep kind of feel like we're, you know, we're kind of continuously mentioning the same thing. But you know, in terms of all the things that can basically just the overall opportunity for this team. And then yeah, you go specifically into the defense. They had a better second half, like you said, a better fourth and fourth quarter in particular, and being able to generate some turnovers. And now, much like we talked about with the O-line after the Minnesota game, you want to see some carryover now into this next game, into this Rutgers game. And Rutgers, as you mentioned earlier, in terms of like they haven't been like necessarily the best team in the Big Ten by any means, but like they're, I think it's fair to say there's probably going to be some opportunities to address some of the issues that have plagued you this year. So being able to get off the field on third downs, generating penalties, generating pressure on the quarterback, those are all things, and you'd like to see some carryover from last week into this week. Because as you know, as disappointing as last week was, like there's when you go back, I'm sure when they went back and they looked at the tape, there were areas, moments where, especially for that defense, where they were looking at and they're like, look, guys, like this was good. Like we can like this is the stuff we need to do. You know, these are the like their possessions where you could point out, hey, this is how we need to be doing it. And so now it's about, hey, instead of doing a quarter, can you do a half? Can you and obviously more than a half, can you put a whole game together, a whole 60 minutes of that type of I would say game changing defense. Because if this team is able to defensively, if they're able to generate turnovers, get off the field, again, that's just something we talk about the scope of complementary football. It bodes well for you in the grand scheme of things of trying to of winning the game. But hopefully, you know, we're not seeing these 12, 14 play drives, where, you know, where, you know, you're having these self-inflicted wounds, that are allowing the opposing team to keep drives going. But yeah, man, definitely want to see if the offense the defense can continue their momentum from the tail end of that Northwestern game. And I think they can. I really do think they can. The fact that they show it to you lets you know it's possible. And it's just like, guys, you just have to be locked in. You know, you have to be locked in from the jump. I think it takes a certain amount of concentration. And I think these guys are capable of doing it. We just need to see it for an entire game.
Right there with you. And hopefully we see it for that entire game. Again, it'll be a noon kickoff on Big Ten Network. Guy Haberman and Yogi Roth will have the call. Homecoming at Ross-Ade Stadium. And one last kind of interesting note, I didn't know this, just kind of looking through stuff. Not only will Barry Odom be looking for his first Big Ten win, but the Boilermakers will be looking for their first win against Rutgers. Now, granted, they've only played Rutgers twice, but 0-2 against Rutgers. So now feels like a good opportunity to get that first win. I'll
Yeah,
say
please. You know, there's no better time than the present.
that. But win or lose, we'll be there to break it all down. But Sim, let's talk some hoops, man, because I think it's crazy because probably most Purdue fans are more excited about an exhibition game this weekend than about homecoming football game. But that just kind of goes to speak the state of where the two programs are right now. But, you know, like we talked about in the open, this is probably the most anticipated exhibition game that I can remember. You have number one Purdue going to number nine Lexington to going to Lexington to play number nine Kentucky. It'll be on SEC Network. Not a big fan of the tip time, but we'll make it work
Listen, you
because
caught
it'll
me
be
there.
s the 6 o'clock tip on a Friday night. Not sure who thought that one through, but SEC Network didn't ask me. But just
Gotta stop work early.
one like. It's just nice to have some hoops back, like we said, but it's gonna be really hard not to overreact, underreact, all things in between to every single play we see Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the thing I would try to remind people, and I probably should have checked this to be sure, but last year they went to Creighton and lost. The season was still pretty good. I believe 2 years ago, I want to say they played, was it West Virginia who they played?
Arkansas.
It was Arkansas. That's right. It was Arkansas. And I believe Arkansas, they lost. And obviously, we know what happened that season. It's not, I just, the thing I will try to remind myself, and I probably will do a better job of it than you will, but it's just to remember like that this is an exhibition game. And so you'll see comp lineup combinations, and a lot of it, it's a fact finding mission. It's a fact finding, opportunity where you're going to see different lineups, and it's more going to be just trying to collect data. And Painter talked about in his press conference today about how you can lose the game but get better as a team. And I think that's kind of what we have to remember. And also the more than just like seeing guys play, in terms of just like the X's and O's, it's more of like he talked about too, the environment. Like we've seen the resale. I think we even talked about the resale prices for this exhibition game in Lexington. So it's gonna be a hostile environment. And given what Purdue's non-conference schedule looks like, and then obviously going on the and then even in the Big Ten season, and the fact that they're starting off preseason number one, like every game that's not at Mackey or not in Indianapolis is going to be a hostile environment. Even if the team you're playing is bad. People will show up because Purdue's coming through. So getting guys acclimated quick, especially the younger guys, the younger guys and the new guys, getting them acclimated to what it's like to be in those hostile environments, and then being able to adjust, settle in, and be able to play back, play, you know, play Purdue basketball. Those are the things that it's nice to have an opportunity to get that when the game doesn't count in terms of like your win-loss record for the year. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited to, like you said, to have basketball back, because it seems to be a lot more positive of a topic to talk about than football. Although football, feel free to change that. I'll say that the rest of the year. But yeah, it's just you have to try to remind yourself too to stay even keel, and that the outcome of this game literally has no impact on how the season goes. Because I mentioned those two examples earlier where you lose, and especially the Arkansas game, you lost that Arkansas game, and then you belt ass for the majority of the year, and you end up going to the national championship game. So, yeah, just take this game as what it is, and just enjoy the fact that Purdue basketball is back, and can see just kind of how deep this team is and the options, and honestly, for Painter and them, I think it's probably a stressful time for them, because I know there's some decisions in terms of personnel with red shirts and whatnot. And as deep as this Purdue team is, like if everyone plays well, it makes that decision, a little bit harder. So yeah, I
No,
just.
and I'm glad you brought that up because I did want to just touch on that a little bit before we talk about this actual game. And if you haven't had a chance to watch Painter's press conference from earlier today on Thursday, really good stuff, really insightful stuff. Just not only about Purdue, but about how he likes to schedule exhibition games and college in like the state of college hoops and kind of where it's at right now. But one kind of news nugget that he did drop in there was that Riley Burgess is going to redshirt. He also made sure not to rule out There's a potential for additional red shirts. Obviously didn't name any names, and we won't speculate or anything like that. But for Raleigh specifically, Sim, I don't think it comes as too much of a shock for either one of us. I mean, when you look at like the minutes for, the bigs, it's going to be really hard to find meaningful minutes there. And then, the other thing to keep in mind too is he's coming off of that stress fracture injury with his foot. So, no need to really rush him back into that. And, especially when you have the guys in the front court that Purdue has, just seems like this move makes a lot of sense.
It doesn't seem like that much of a surprise, as you said, just because for exactly all the reasons you mentioned. You were at via the transfer portal, and obviously getting Daniel back from injury, you feel a lot better about where you're at in terms of for your bigs. And so, essentially using up a year of his eligibility when there's not going to be, or odds are there's not going to be those minutes for him to see the floor, just it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And so yeah, so when Payne said that today, it kind of it made sense. And yeah, like you said, coming off the injury, it just gives him more time to continue to recover, to kind of build up his body. And I believe he still gets to practice, doesn't he? So I mean, it's not like he's going to be completely in street clothes the entire year. So yeah, and two, yeah, there's going to be the beautiful problem of what Purdue, for Purdue this year is that there's such a deep team that there's going to be some guys who even we'll see play against Kentucky who might ball out, and it's like they might end up getting redshirted, so yeah, not a crazy surprise, but yeah, just I my thing for Raleigh is I hope that he takes this year to really to work on his game, continue to get better, so that way when he next year he comes out and there's no questions about whether or not he's gonna redshirt, about whether or not he's gonna play. He comes out and he's like, yeah, this I'm getting minutes now type shit.
Yeah, I think both you and I are still really high on him.
Yeah.
I don't think like that this red shirt like changes anything like that. I wouldn't be shocked if he came out next year and played a lot. Just one, just because of the openings that'll be on the front court, but two, just how we've talked about, the kind of mismatches that he can provide as that stretch big. But Sim, you talked about the depth a little bit, and I wanted to touch on that because Payne also announced the starting five, which we would assume would probably be the starting five come the regular season as well. And it's going to be Braden Fletch, Trey, Oscar, and CJ Cox as the fifth starter there. So that was, that fifth starter was the one that, we were all kind of waiting to see. Would it be CJ? Would it be Jakari? Would it be Omir? And, I don't think you could go wrong with any of them. And, Payne even said in his presser that they have more than five starters. And, that's a good thing to have, but it can also be kind of stressful because you got to kind of juggle all those things. But, I think we're both in agreement of how excited we are to see both CJ and Jakari kind of take that sophomore jump. And it's just neat to see him kind of earn that starting role because, this was one where you really had to go out and earn it. I can just imagine in practices how much of a dogfight that was. And I'm sure the lineups will kind of change as the year goes on. Payne's notorious for that, but neat to see him get that starting nod there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, although everything I've been reading, hearing, and seeing out of from the off season has been that those both CJ and Jakari have taken they've definitely improved. They've definitely improved. And Payne said in his presser that that Jakar's goal was actually to win a starting spot. And so, you know, when you have that kind of setup as your goal, you know, there's work you have to put in. And so for the fact that, you know, CJ to win it, you know, given that Jakari had a very good offseason as well, obviously it means that those two, like you said, they were battling. I know it was probably a dogfight every time in practice. And yeah, it just, and I'm sure that Payne's probably communicated this already, that, you know, in terms of like, look, just because you're not starting doesn't mean you're not gonna get a lot of minutes. And the fact that, again, you go back to the whole the conversation about depth, it doesn't mean that there's not gonna be a game or two or three where a particular lineup that might include CJ and Jakar and or Jakari is the one that kind of really gets going. And then obviously you just kind of ride that wave out. So yeah, I mean the starting five getting start you know the starting five getting announced. I thought it was interesting too how Payne was very clear to say that in practice, they did best when Oscar and TKR were at the four and the five, and how Oscar really separated himself because of how well he rebounds, and that. Obviously, he knows, like in terms of playing winning basketball, and I imagine you can remember it as well. But there were a lot of games last year where, especially, I think especially starting that was it that Michigan game when Purdue was about to, like, I think they were either first in the Big Ten or like second, and then obviously it started to go a little south. You would have these possessions where you're getting a stop in the sense of like you're forcing a missed shot, a tough shot, but you're not able to get the rebound. And then, you know, second, third, fourth opportunities, and you give a team that many opportunities, there's a good chance that they're probably getting the score, they're probably getting the basket, or they're getting, you know, a foul, a shooting foul, something like that, you know. And so you have to be able to close out those possessions with the rebound. And we have good rebounding guards, but obviously, you know, we were lacking a bit in that front court in terms of the ability to be able to rebound. So the fact that Oscar is so good at it, that kind of lets you know off the top, okay, yeah, he for sure was probably going to be, you know, get the nod. So again, starting five is great, but I'm kind of curious to see what some of these after the when the first substitutions happen, I'm interested to see the lineup combinations and how those go.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Like, and I'm kind of interested. Like, is it going to be like a hockey like line change, or is he
Right.
going to kind of like mix and match guys and see how they play? You know, and that's kind of the point of this game, right? Is just to try different things out and see what works. And you know, Paint brought up a really good point in his press conference, and you know, I'm shocked more teams don't, you know, challenge themselves in an exhibition game, because you literally have nothing to lose, and it only makes your team better. And especially when you know, you have the goals that a team like Purdue has, and you have a schedule like how we have, you know. Why not have your first road game be one that doesn't count, so you can kind of, you know, work everything out before you go on the road and play a really good Alabama team?
Yeah, man. You,
So
yeah, I, yeah.
it just makes sense. Like, why would you not do this?
Right. No, I agree completely. I mean, like, I think one of the things that gets applauded, you know, that's been applauded over the years has been, I always think about Michigan State and how they like routinely would have these kind of like juggernaut, non-conference, schedules. And, you know, they would, they, some, there were some years where they came out, you know, three, four losses and everyone's like, oh, what's wrong with Michigan State? But then, you know, sometime in like January, it would start to turn, and you know, Tom Izzo would usually be like, yeah, well, you know, we had that tough slate earlier, and it really kind of made us all kind of have to look in the mirror, and you know, we had to make some adjustments, and we had to improve, and we had to get better, and then when they hit their stride, like you can see just how much better the team is because of what they went through. So I agree, man. Like, you know, I think, yeah, everyone wants to put in a couple, I guess, gimmies, but. Yeah, especially when you have the opportunity to play one, two exhibition games, like, yeah, why not challenge yourself, go on the road, put yourself in that hostile environment, especially if you're a team, like you said, with Purdue that has high expectations. Figure out now, you know, what, you know, who might be ready for it and who also needs to get a taste of it. So that way they know, hey, look, this is what it's going to be like when it gets real, like, you know, steady the arms type, you know, type shit. So yeah, I'm, I'm with you, man. I don't really understand why more programs don't do it, but also that's not really a problem for us right now. Don't do it, and then come to Mackey and come get your ass beat. Who cares?
But Sib, kind of, as we look at this one, at this matchup specifically on Friday, obviously not going to break it down too much because, like we said, it's a exhibition game. There's going to be a lot of different lineups, a lot of trial and error out there. So, things that you see run, you may not see run the rest of the year. Lineups you see out there, you legit might not see the same lineup out there the rest of the year. But is there any kind of any player or anything specific kind of that you're really looking forward to seeing Friday night?
I think I'm eager to see two things. I'm eager to see the freshman guards, like guard slash wings. So like it's Jack Benner, because he redshirted last year. Obviously Omer, and then Antoine West, because Antoine West apparently shoot the lights out. Plays really good defense. And he'll have he might have an opportunity against, because obviously Kentucky's not going to have any, they're not going to have just like regular dudes. Like they're going to have some quality talent there. So I'm curious to see how they hold up. But I'm also very curious to see how Oscar and TKR look, because we've seen clips from like scrimmages and practice and whatnot. But I want to see that. I think that there's obvious, like TKR, I think is an underrated passer. And just seeing if there's sets where it's kind of it's big to big action and kind of how that goes. That's something I'm those are probably the two things that I'm eager to see.
No, and I mean, there's not a wrong answer here because, there's just so much excitement and things to see. And I don't disagree with you on either one of those, like, especially guys that we really haven't had a chance to see, like your Antoine West and Jack Venter, too, who has been, really impressive in the reports that we've read and heard. But one other guy that I'm really eager to see, man, is Daniel Jacobson. Just really nice to see him back healthy. And I just think he can really be kind of a really good fit for this team. At the five opposite, he has a different style than Oscar. And you see in all of the scrimmage videos and all the recap videos, it's just lob pass after lob pass from Braden, from Fletch, from Trey, of feeding Daniel. And like he legit can, probably get 6 or 8 points just off lobs. And then, on the other side of the ball, protecting that rim, which is probably the biggest weakness defensively we saw last year. So really excited to see him back out there and kind of see what he can do there.
Yeah, no, that's actually a really good point, especially defensively, because obviously there are going to be people probably try to attack the basket, but I think remember this with Edie about how having a guy of like Jacobson's size, it makes you think twice about even attacking the basket, so you settle for a jumper instead of trying to drive the basket because he's going to alter the shot. And I think yeah, just to see him, especially because he's going to come off the bench and playing presumably with that second unit, I think that there's a lot of opportunity there. And because we got a small taste of what he could do last year, and it was looking like it was trending in the right direction, and obviously he gets hurt, but then he's able to rehab, work on his body. He goes out and plays in the U19s, and now he comes back, and now you're expecting, I think I honestly think in a role that might be more comfortable for him. There's not going to be as much pressure. Like if he had started last year, there'd have been a lot of pressure on him in terms of like I think the minutes and then just kind of being able to be effective. I think you see a lot of times with freshmen, especially bigs, where they can be like foul, they can be foul heavy, they'd be foul magnets. And in his situation, being able to come off the bench, he's not necessarily going to play as heavy a load of minutes, so he can be even more impactful in the minutes that he's able to play. So yeah, I agree with you, man. I think, like you said, I think like It'll be interesting to see him, but also, like you said, there's really not a wrong answer. I think there's so many things that we want to see to kind of start to understand, okay, what do we have here with this Purdue team? So yeah, definitely gonna be looking for to see what Daniel's able to do as well.
Yeah, so I think long story short, we're just excited that that it's back, that we get to see live action. And again, that'll be Friday night, 6 p.m. Eastern time on SEC Network. Really just kind of not only just excited to see, obviously the team back, but Rupp Arena, that environment. Just gonna be really fun night, and really looking forward to seeing how both teams play there.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, and remember people, it's not the season doesn't make or it doesn't it's not you know, it's not make or break it off of this game. So this is probably the best type of like stress-free basketball you could see outside of a regular season game or if we're like beating the shit out of somebody. So enjoy at the end of the day, really just enjoy the fact that we're watching Purdue play. But yeah, don't take it too much one way or the other. Try to stay even keel. Try.
Good luck.
I was gonna say try.
And I say that speaking directly to myself.
I
Good
was gonna
luck
say that's
staying.
gonna be you telling yourself that in the mirror. Like
That's me staring
we're
at
not
the
gonna get
mirror,
worked up.
pointing. Do not get overly excited. But yeah, we will have much more basketball talk here in the next few weeks. Got some real exciting stuff coming y'all's way. But of course, we will also break this game down next week and also recap hopefully a win at Ross-Ade Stadium against Rutgers. But either way, win or lose, we'll be here to break it all down. Most importantly, though, everybody, have a good weekend and boiler up.
Yes, sir.